This week's episode of Podfather is brought to you by our good buddies at MyBlue. Sometimes it's hard to find a satisfying vape that's simple and convenient. No longer with MyBlue. Blue is the company that introduced vaping to the world, and now it's introducing MyBlue. My gives you the satisfaction with none of the hassle, just click and go. With MyBlue, it's easy to use the one-click liquid pods where you can switch between flavors like cherry, strawberry, tobacco, a bunch of other different shits that I love. We tried them all out here when we were here for the Final Four. I got a little vaping station in my office. We're hitting the mad vapes here, blowing mad clouds. People are mad jealous. The haters are going to be sick. Just 20 minutes to charge and you're set all damn day. For a limited time, Blue is letting you try their new MyBlue starter kit for just $1. But hurry, this won't last long. Terms and conditions may apply. Go to MyBlue.com to learn more. There you go, MyBlue.com for more details. Hit the music, Rugrats style.
You spend time with your family?
Sure I do.
Good. Because a man that doesn't spend time with his family can never be a real man.
Well, Clemmy, it's another day here in Texas. I have reached, like, it's like 75 degrees and beautifully sunny. I'm on cloud nine. I know that you're still doing young infant shit and your life is absolute miserable mess. But my life is so good right now. I got my new office set up. I got two TVs in here. I have the game up on mute while we're podcasting so I can keep an eye on my not-so-beloved Spurs getting swept out of the playoffs. And my radio show starts in just 1 week. How's your week going?
It's all coming up chapsy right now. So I guess that's kind of how it goes. There's two sides to the yin and the yang of life. So I'm the one getting the screws put to me, as our boy Billy Mitchell once put
it. No, stop talking, Clem. Get on Twitter right now and go follow me again, you son of a bitch.
Did I never refollow?
No, it's been like 5 days, dude.
That's fucked. I actually said to someone, I think I said to my wife, I said, so Chap's been pretty quiet recently.
Because you unfollowed me, you asshole.
I literally have your page up on my thing because you would ask the tweet question. I literally had it up on my computer, not thinking that, like, I just didn't follow you like an asshole. Well, to be fair, you went at my guys. You went at my Gaines, my Gaines fam, my fixer upper squad. You were not happy that I said it was couples goals. To be honest, I tried to sneak that one by you, and it was like you hit it out of the park, 500 feet. You fucking Albert Pujols that shit off Brad Lidge.
Well, I had to. I mean, you can't be couples goals if there's divorce rumors floating about the arena.
The haters. You always talk about the high haters. Everyone's just jealous of a very happy family of successful people that are just 10 out of 10 in multiple facets of life.
Wait, so they're not getting a divorce?
I don't know. I hope not. They're having a kid, which I guess doesn't mean shit. I mean, that's just another – it's like the fifth kid. I think that's when, like, you have to be the best marriage ever to survive five kids in a family. That's just craziness at that point.
Yeah, one of our good family couples here has four kids, and it's four girls, just wild. Oh. Just a wild scene.
That's how old's the oldest?
I think she's like 12.
So they're not even in like the real shit of like, you know, the hormones and.
Oh, they're getting there. I mean, these girls are. One of them is a lot like McCartney. Like, she's like McCartney's best friend at church. And so they get into some serious shit together. They're great kids, though, man. It's like a wild family, and like their dynamic is so dope.
That's Andy Dufresne crawling through the shit. They're going to be in that for a while. Actually, I have in my notes here. I don't know why I need notes. I was like, let me just make sure to tell Chaps that I am currently in. I call it the cycle of shit right now. Mm-hmm. I noticed it last night. The Mets blew a save, and I said, oh, well, now I get to go to the night portion of my day, which is diapers, trying to get a burp out, feeding, trying to make him go to sleep, and he's crying. You don't know why he's not crying. And I go, it's literally the same thing during the day, but at night it just hurts a lot more. You know, when I was a younger man, even like a couple years ago, even before Sienna was born, I could get up at like 3 a.m. and I kind of have my wits about me and I could like kind of like get back up and going. Now I just I'm like on empty. It's like when you start the car and it won't even start because there's just no gas. That's what I'm like whenever I have to wake up for this kid. And then daylight comes. And you think, oh, no, that means everything's good again. No. It's the same shit. It's just you don't feel as, like, disoriented because it's dark outside and 4 in the morning. I'm completely – my brain is shot. We talked about shoeshine brain. I have left in the last week. I left a pair of sunglasses on the top of my car that flew off on the highway. I left my Sienna's toy on top of my car, a little keyboard that somehow stayed on 20 miles later. And then I left a pie of pizza on the top of the car that somehow stayed on the car.
Really?
Which tells you that I drive like a pussy, first of all. Wow. And second of all, it tells you that I am completely fried up
Dog,
top.
You would have been shot. Fucked with nursing Mama Bear at home waiting for a pie and it doesn't even come in. Ooh, yep. You would have been screwed.
And me and Sienna already ate. We were getting pizza for the rest of the people that were here. So it would have been her like, sorry, babe. That's all. If you want to go eat, it's like Buzz in Home Alone. Like, you want to go eat, go to the fucking Route 6 right there. It's on the ground for you waiting. I would have been in some shit. And best case scenario, what? She has to wait a half an hour longer for the next pie? No bueno. No bueno, pal. So I am in the shit. It's only been 2 weeks. I can't believe it's only been 2 weeks. I feel like it's been 2 years. And I am locked in this. It's 2 weeks of the 6 month fog that I always talk about. So I have a long way to go before I'm out of it. But I will say, I am happy that everything is working out for you on the other side of the coin right now. As long as one of us, we have to have an equilibrium on the Podfathers. Yeah. You're on the high side right now. I'll happily take the low side for the time being for my pal. Congrats on the show. Looking forward to it. You and Casey should be a dynamite tandem, the Texas squad.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, man. But going back to your wife, like, it's just so, because you feel like there's certain things that you have to do and you have to nail it and get it absolutely right. Or you feel like just such a piece of shit. Like, if that pizza would have flown off, yeah, you probably wouldn't have got in trouble. But what you would have felt bad because you're like, this is one of the things that I was supposed to do, and I didn't even put the pizza in the car. And all my wife is looking for is a little bit of help. And if you're looking for help, try ZipRecruiter, because ZipRecruiter is getting you the people that you need in the right spot. Learn what you're looking for. It identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply for your job. These invitations have revolutionized how you find your next hire. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. Add ZipRecruiter doesn't just stop here. They add spotlights and the strongest applications you'll receive, so never miss a great match. The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Right now, our listeners get ZipRecruiter free. That's right, free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/podfathers. That's ZipRecruiter.com/podfathers. ZipRecruiter.com/podfathers. ZipRecruiter, it's the smartest way to hire. We posted out on Twitter that we had that we were going to take some questions from Twitter this time. Instead of the mailbag, we're going to do it here. Our pal at Freezing Cold Takes had a really good question. He said, have you tackled park etiquette? There's situation number one. There's a stranger kid at the park being annoying as fuck to your kid, but he's not self-aware. His or her parents not paying attention. Must delicately nudge the annoying child away somehow. How do you do it?
I straight up, like, just, I'm kind of interested to hear your answer on this, because your persona, my persona is different, obviously. I am a pushover. I straight up just take Sienna and just, like, run away. I am the biggest bitch at the park. You can push me off of any corner, push me off of any swing set, any slide. We are out. The minute I feel any kind of, like, if threatened or just, like, some loser kid is just bothering me, I will go as far away as possible to avoid any conflict or just having some little fucking doofus nincompoop around my kid.
For me, it depends on which kid is getting pushed around. If it's McCartney, I don't give a shit. Like, she's going to give it back. Like, if she's not getting what she needs, she's going to give it back. When it was Kelsey and she was smaller, I used to have to go and take her down and be like, sorry. Or I would talk really loud to her, like, from across the way. Be like, yeah, that kid's not taking turns. And I was just – because I was on active duty at the time. So I was looking for, like, any type of conflict available. So I didn't care. So I would be across sitting on the bench like, yeah, that kid's being a real fucker, Kels. You got to get him off there.
I will do like the loud sigh. That's the hardest. That's like my
the one loud sigh's about as passive aggressive it gets as a parent too.
Yeah, exactly. And like, if you just seem like a shitty parent, like, I will steer Sienna completely in the other direction of your kid as quickly as humanly possible.
But you know those looks on some of the kids that are out there that are on top of the slide. They're playing King of the Castle, King Ding-a-ling, whatever you want to call it. You know there's some kids out there that just aren't to be trifled with, so you might as well just pack up your shit and go.
Oh, yeah. And Sienna is such a – trying not to be mean, she's kind of a little bitch though. Like, she is not made for this world of confrontation. So Sienna, if Sienna was, say, 6 and McCartney was 3, Sienna would have her lunch eaten for her by McCartney. A young McCartney could push around Sienna all day, er day.
All right, that's question one for the part. Question two, two-parter from our pal Freezing Cold Takes. How long till you tell your kid to get off the swing with if there's another kid waiting?
That's, again, I am kind of a bitch, but if I've waited to get to that swing, basically until the kid's done, Sienna gets to keep going until she doesn't want to go anymore. And if they want to throw some loud sighs at me or fucking start, you know, crowding my area, they can go fuck themselves, man. That fucking swing set's fucking, if it's free, that go buy a swing set if you want to swing at your fucking leisure. That's what I say about that shit.
I agree. If you got it, stay there, because that part of it is ownership, and McCartney's not going to come off. If she sees you, she actually adapts a lot like me. Like, if I'm taking a shit at a public stall and all the stalls are filled and you start sighing really loud, I don't care if I'm done. Every sigh, I'm adding 45 seconds. That's just how I do business. Like, if you're, I'll just play around on Twitter. I'll play around on Instagram. My wife will be like, what taking so long? There is a sire on the other end. And I'm not going to back down from that. If you knock on the door, sorry, dude, still occupied. I am going to take that for as long as you can go. Every sigh, I would probably tell McCartney, you're adding 18 more kicks on the swing. Like, that's just how we have to get down.
Yeah, and if I could tell someone's, like, starting to, like, really encroach and get pissed off, I'll just be like, woo, and start making, like, little baby noises. So then it's like you're going to tell a kid having fun they have to get off the swing. So then I really fucking paint him into a corner. That's kind of what I do. I'm an ass. It's funny. Being a parent really brings out the asshole side of you real quickly when there's another little shitty kid around.
Yeah, for sure. DLG asked us, how do you get a kid off of a pacifier?
So what we did with that stuff was, and I guess this kind of falls into the time of the year. Sienna got her Christmas presents and Santa took all her pacifiers. That was what she was told. She was told Santa came. She woke up one day.
That's still
and
brutal, pacifiers. Man. That is. And,
you know what, though? She never even, like, held a grudge towards him or anything. She never cried or complained. She was like, I could complain, but the guy just gave me so much good shit that, like, I really can't, like, get mad. She still remembers, though. Like, she's like, Santa took my pacifiers. So that's one way to do it. If you want to go for it, go for it. But that's the only way we could really do it. And the other thing is, like, AJ in the hospital, I was throwing a pacifier in his mouth every 5 seconds. I'm like, shut up. Just shut up. And I'm just shoving it in his face. So it's like, I'm just figuring we're going to have that ace up our sleeves once he's, like, 2 years old and Santa can take his pacifier again.
Yeah, we just – once it was lost, we never looked for it. Like, once it was lost and we put it on her little personal responsibility, we told her, like, this is your last pacifier. Once you lose it, it's gone. And she would lose it, and we didn't look for it, or we would find it and throw it away. And she's just like, ah, fuck, it's on me. So, but I think that if you stop shoving it in their mouth to ease your pain as a parent, eventually it helps a little bit too, because it becomes almost as big of a crutch for us as it is for them. So they're whiny, fussy at 18 months. You just want to shove that thing in their mouth instead of them learning how to, as the French say, self-soothe. If they self-soothe a little bit, then they'll be a little bit better, I think. I don't know. Fuck, my kids are crazy as hell. What do I know?
I forget, like, every time AJ cries, I just, like, try to give him milk even when he probably shouldn't be having it. And I just call it shut-up juice. Like, it's probably – he starts with the milk and then it goes with the pacifier. It just shuts him up. And I'll tell you, man, I need any – that doesn't go away. You just need some fucking silence for one.
So there's another article. Our friend the system, Teal Talk, gave us an article that just came out in the Wall Street Journal. Parents are looking to wean their kids off of iPhones and have driven a 27% surge in board game sales. Now 100% of them regret it and are reverse cheating so that their kids win quickly. If you've ever played Candyland, you can relate. This happens to us all the time. Like, we have this fanciful idea that playing board games and shit like that are going to be such a great time. Like, it's family fun. Like, we got this one the other day. It's called Don't Step in It, where it's like a they have this track where it feels like you're stepping in poop, but it's Play-Doh. You do it blindfolded. How many steps do you take? It was really fun the first time. But then those kind of games are really good. But if you play a game like Monopoly, I just find myself trying to lose as fast as possible. So McCartney's like, oh, yeah, hell yeah, I won. You're like, yeah, you did. Now it's time for bed, bitch.
It's like with books where I'm just like cutting out as much as humanly possible, which I feel like, you know, the side of this since Kelsey's growing up, like once they know you're cutting out parts of the book, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. But I'll do that with the book as soon as possible. And same with Candyland. Like, it's definitely a nostalgic thing where you're like, oh man, let's play some Candyland with the kid. And then Sienna cheats. She's a cheater, which is really concerning. She always goes for Frostine, you know, the little ice cream cone,
yeah,
to get all the way to the top. And if you try to call her out on it, she cries, and then it's a whole thing. So we're just like, fuck it, we're going to let her cheat. It's probably not a good example to set for her at a young age, but you know what? If fucking once she wins, she's happy, and then it's like, now we can go to bath time, and then we go to bed, and then in the end, that's all that fucking matters right now.
Yeah.
All them. I tweeted this yesterday. She's declared can you declare a cold war on a house, or is a cold war undeclared?
I think you can declare it. I mean,
She's declared a cold war on the house. It's her versus me, my wife, and the baby. And she still loves us. She still loves the baby. But she has gone to the point now where she just, like, the second we say no, she just collapses, cries, whines, does everything. And there is really just no way for us to combat it. And we even did a Daddy Sienna Day just to, like, hey, we love you still. You're still part of the family. We love you very much. We did Daddy Sienna Day. First of all, she goes, can we go to the gas station? Is what she wanted to do. That's fucking depressing right there when, like, her idea of fun with me is going to the gas station. And not, like, going inside and getting the snacks, which is, like, my favorite part about going to the gas station, but just, like, sitting at the gas station.
Just, like, it was hanging kind out.
Yeah, just hanging out. Then we went to the mall. We went to some little place that had, like, these, like, old arcade games that you could play. She hated it basically immediately, wanted to leave. And then we come home, and then every time, let's go to school. I don't want to go to school. I don't want to have this for breakfast. I don't want to go in the car. Then when we pick her up, I don't want to bathe. I don't want to go to bed. And it's just a fight every single step of the way. And knowing Sienna, she's now sick again with a double ear infection. We have to look into tubes in the ears. Yeah, we were told that she might have a thing against antibiotics. Or, you know, kids have tubes in their ears. We may have to start researching that because we are having some serious issues right now with her ears. And I'm starting to think she's, like, licking toilets because she knows when we are tired and don't care anymore, that's when she can just watch 1,000 episodes of TV in a row. Like, Bubble Guppies is ruling our house right now, which I don't remember. Chaps, are you a Bubble Guppies guy?
No. I hate the theme song. It's the theme song that rocks like the first couple times you hear it, and then it gets ingrained in your mind and you want to kill yourself.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I've been told. I'm a big Mr.
Bubble,
Grouper
bubble,
guy.
Bubble, guppy, guppy, guppies.
I like the line up, everybody line up. But
yeah,
I could already tell
jams.
That song jams. And she dances when they dance. It's kind of cute. But like, Bubble Guppies is basically raising our kid. And you know what? She knows that she's going to win this war because we can't have that cycle of shit where we're just grinding up into a fucking ball of fucking death. And then she can just come in and just basically do whatever she wants. So we're in a war right now. For anyone that has two kids or has one kid and another on the way, be ready, because that first kid, you try to, like, make them happy. You try to make sure that they know they're still loved. They're still going to come and just rip your fucking soul out right now. I had to turn on Fortnite just so then she would let me record right now. And then she just disappeared. I don't even know where she is. I don't even care where she is right now. Fuck her.
Yeah, she was around. I don't know where she went either. I was expecting her to chime in and be on the show today.
Me too.
So Jay Feely, did you see the business with Jay Feely? What are your thoughts on that? Because everybody kind of freaked out. I want to talk to my pal Clem about it.
Okay. So I saw that, and I had – whenever I see shit like that, I don't even think of the real reaction. I just think of it's 2018. Like, I just went straight to the fucking replies to it, and it was right where the gun control shit. It was a joke. I understand it doesn't really play this day and age. I was more thinking Jay Feely is just such a fucking hardo. I hate that cocksucker so much. Mm-hmm. I hated him when he was on the Giants. I hated him when he had the two gloves. I hated him when he was always being fucking Mr. Tough Guy, Mr. Analyst, all that bullshit. And our boy Captain Khan said it best. That white belt was a rough look.
Yeah. That was rough. Yeah, that's a rough look. And I also think that when you are a grown-ass man, a former professional athlete, and you are telling a child that you can't handle his aggressiveness without the ability of a gun, you've lost a little bit already. I want my daughter's boyfriends to know that I will whoop the shit out of him hand to hand and don't need a weapon. And I just think it's a stupid look. I think that that's such a trite. It's like it's the dad version of a knock-knock joke, really. Is that everybody in the world makes that joke, oh, I'm going to have my gun. But if you actually do it, you're a fucking loser, man. Like, that's a loser move to do.
Yeah. And the fact that it's like, he's like, you, dude, you've been known as, and again, we're a pro special teams podcast here. We're not going to rip anyone on special teams, anyone that kicks a ball for a living. But like, you were kind of always known as the hardo kicker asshole. Like, this doesn't do your image any good. Now it's just like, oh, look at that fucking dickhead that has to put a gun out to like a 17-year-old kid taking his daughter to prom. So agreed. That was a rough look for Jay Feely. I fucking hate the guy anyway. He can go fuck himself.
I mean, the kid, obviously, like, he looks like he's 15, 16 years old. He doesn't even look like he shaves yet.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you have to worry about that guy. I just hate Jay Feely so fucking much. I apologize.
It's just a bad look overall. And if the kid could shave, hopefully he's using something as good as Dollar Shave Club. Because Dollar Shave Club is more than just razors. Dollar Shave Club is a better place than shopping in a store. Dollar Shave Club has razors, shave butter, shampoo, body wash, toothpaste, everything you need to look, smell, and feel your best. I get an amazing quality shave every morning from Dollar Shave Club Executive Razor. It's the best razor I've ever used. Their Talk to Carver shave butter is fantastic. It goes on clear so you can see where you're shaving. And since Dollar Shave Club delivers everything to you, you don't have to set foot in a store wandering the aisles for razors, shampoo, body wash, toothpaste, none of it. Clean up your bathroom and your morning routine with Dr. Shave Club's Daily Essential Starter Kit for just $5 with free shipping. You'll get 6 blades Executive Razor Plus trial sizes of shave butter, body cleanser, one white butt Charlie's. Then keep the blades coming for a few more bucks a month. Speaking of your next month, for a limited time only, if you use the code PODFATHERS at checkout, you get $5 off your second month of the club as well. That's code PODFATHERS at DollarShaveClub.com to save $5 on your second month. Join the club today. Man, I am so tired of everything being so much outrage. Like, I could see why people were upset about Jay Feely. But goddamn, dude, can we go through a day without having a major issue somewhere on social media? It's just so fucking exhausting.
I've reached the point now where, like, we have a lot of followers on Twitter, and we kind of have like our, I mean, it's kind of like a part of our job now if you have it with, and it's so much fun, right? It's like, I wake up, the first thing I do is check Twitter. Not proud of it. I almost wanted it just to die. I just want Twitter to die and, like, the next Twitter to be just, like, whoever was in that group that we were with, like, 5 years ago to go there, and then all these outrage assholes have to, like, another 5 years for them to figure out what the next thing is. You know what I mean? Like, I figure I wasn't on Facebook when it first got hot. It was just after I graduated, and I didn't go on it because I didn't have an EDU address, and I was pissed. But, like, I imagine that's what Facebook people feel like back when they were just looking for ways to hook up with people. You know what I mean? Now it's just baby pictures and grandparents and bad political takes.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of bad political takes constantly, and everything has to devolve into some political takes. But you also have to be smarter than that. Like, if you're Jay Feely, you have to be smarter that holding a gun by somebody is not a best idea. I mean,
high school kids too. Like, right. Like the there was just another protest for Columbine like 2 days ago. The walkouts, like that, like it was dumb. That's the best way to. You said it perfect, Chaps. Like, you have to. How many tweets have you had? And you're known not to delete your tweets. You will never do that.
And if you do, never will.
Check the log. It says it in the log itself.
Right there.
But if you did, you would always like you would say, hey, this tweet probably shouldn't go out right now. Let me just pocket this. Like, cheap laughs, like retweets and likes, they're nice. They aren't worth fucking all the – well, you don't
want to
get ratioed.
Dude, and if you want to do that, if you want to have that corny-ass dad joke, because so many dads think it's the best one, like, oh, I'm going to have a daughter. I'm going to bring home a gun. Like, shut the fuck up, man. If you want to have something like that and make it funny, change the pistol to a fucking water gun, and that post is hilarious instead of stupid as shit.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I mean, if he's standing there, they're about to go to, and he has a super soaker in his hand, like lined up and ready to go. I think that the reaction is a little bit different than him having an actual pistol.
Again, it comes down. You know what? If Sebastian Janikowski did it, it would have probably come off a lot different. He probably would have had like torn jeans, would have just looked, you know, a little fucking looking chubby as hell.
I disagree. You have a real life handgun out around some teenagers. It's always a bad move.
I'm just saying, though, Sebastian Janikowski would have softened it. I just really fucking hate Jay Feely. I really fucking hate
him. But I do feel like this is an issue where you can see both sides, where, like, people who like guns are like, oh, I'm a safe gun owner. Yeah, sure, I'll have my gun out around my kids and teach them weapon safety and stuff like that. But there's just no need for it. Like, there's no need for it.
Yeah, there's no need for it at all. Like you said, for a cheap dad joke, that's all it is a dad joke at this point, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not risque or anything like that.
And now his daughter's prom is all about him instead of all about her.
Such a Jay Feely move. What a dickhead. Jay, if you want to come on the podcast, love to talk to you.
We don't want him on. We'll have Josh Scobie on anyways. He's better.
Can we rebuke him?
Can we rebuke Feely?
Yeah.
Fuck it. Yeah, he's rebuked.
Yeah, he's rebuked.
Yes. He's not allowed on the podcast.
It feels good to rebuke someone again. It's been a hot minute. You rebuked the Gaineses on Twitter, which led to the unfollowing that we previously mentioned.
Yeah.
But fuck Jake Feely, man. He's the pits.
Yeah, he is. All right. I think that about sums it up for this week. You're back in action, right?
Yeah. I honestly don't know how – this sounds really shitty to say. And I know how it sounds to people that have real jobs, because I once had a real job as a listener and reader at Barstool. I don't know how I'm going to get back into the game, man. My brain is such mush right now. I think anyone who's had a kid can at least appreciate that side of things. Granted, I'm blogging dick jokes and, you know, sports, but I am in a fucking bad place right now, chaps. I'm not going to lie to you.
And one reason is because it's hard. You don't know what anybody's blogged for, like, the last couple of
yeah.
days, like a couple of weeks. That shit's tough. Like, people who don't work in Barstool don't realize that. Like, if you've even whenever I go into the podcast studio or radio studio and come out like 3 or 4 hours later at work, it feels like I've been in a time warp. I don't know what's going up on the blog. I don't know what's happening on the internet. I'm not checking Twitter. I don't know what's happening. And 4 hours feels like you were legit off grid, even though you're recording a podcast or a radio show.
Even when we do this on the weekend, like, you step off and you're like, what the fuck just happened? I feel like
behind the time. Gotta catch up with, like, the news cycle.
What are we going to be outraged about next? I have to see what kicker is throwing fucking gun pictures up with his daughter next. So, like,
if I had to guess, it's Martin Gramatica. I bet he's fucking something up somewhere. One of the Gramaticas, anyway.
One of the Gramaticas, yeah. One of the Gramaticas for sure. I wonder if he still has, like, a limp. Do you think he still has a limp?
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
All right, that's it. We love you guys. Talk to you later.
Love you, Josh Scobie.